And what specific aromatase inhibitor would you likely use?
That's harder because we don't have the prospective data yet of the MA27, which would be exemestane versus anastrozole, to see as far as toxicity. As far as my reading the literature, they're all efficacious. I tend to use anastrozole more only because there's a longer follow-up, and therefore there's more safety data.
And so in terms of that, I guess the first of a bunch of aromatase trials that were reported was in 2001, and that was the ATAC trial, which was anastrozole. And I guess subsequently there was a trial, the big study, with letrozole, but as you point out, there's not quite as much follow-up. So she would end up being on anastrozole either way. The question is, would she get chemo?
I think that's the major question. And I think that's a major life issue. And, you know, I'm sure that all your physicians see this, and the patients surely see it, is that if they can avoid cytotoxic chemotherapy, they're quite appreciative.
And we'll talk about what would be involved with the cytotoxic chemotherapy. But do you participate in the TAILOR-RX trial?
Yes, we do.
Do you think it'd be likely you would bring that up as a possibility to her?
We've discussed this with every patient that we are hoping that can just do on hormonal therapy, or where we're not quite sure, quite frankly, who's node negative, receptor positive.
So if you were to present this trial to her, as you just described, that she would have the Oncotype assay done on her tumor tissue. If the recurrence score was low, she'd get hormonal therapy. You're saying it'd be anastrozole. If the recurrence score was high, she'd get chemotherapy. I'm going to ask you what kind of chemotherapy. But in that intermediate range, which is maybe a quarter of the results, where we're not sure whether they benefit by chemotherapy or not, she would have to consent to being in the study and randomly being assigned by computer to get either chemo or not, correct?
If she were to be on the study.
How do you find people responding to that possibility? That's kind of an interesting dilemma, to allow a computer to decide if you're going to get chemotherapy.
I think it's an important question. The problem I have in the New York area is that many people that we see are shopping, and they have preconceived notions, whether it be family members, other physicians, and they come in rather savvy about what they want to do. So it takes a lot of time to discuss that this is really an unknown area, to really have them appreciate. It's hard for a patient to sort of come to a physician who is a specialist in an area, and the specialist says, well, I really don't know what to do. And obviously that raises a lot of alarms in every patient. You know, I mean, am I doing the right thing? Am I seeing the right doctor?
So overall, roughly of the patients that you present this trial to, how many say yes, they'll go in it?
I would say 20%.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And what do you think the motivation there is? Do you think they're trying to sort of move science forward to do something that'll help themselves? What are they thinking?
I think there is some altruism. It is also that some of the patients we have who are rather sophisticated realize that there are many layers of examination of these trials, both for safety and efficacy, and that the NCI, the FDA, that there are safety monitoring committees, that if there's something wrong with the trial, that it would be stopped early, or indeed if it's a positive trial, the results would be indicated to them. So it is not just one physician making a decision for them therapeutically. They're being looked at many levels.
Right. I know a lot of patients like that. I would like that, knowing that, you know, my case has a lot of different people are kind of looking at.